Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. For all the talk about McCain and Obama and who's ahead and in the polls, it wouldn't matter if the election were not free and fair. I mean, all this money spent, all this energy, all the people coming out and working hard, what if the election is a done deal? What if it's fixed? In 2000, the election was fixed. We know that. We know, without any shadow of a doubt, that no matter how you count the votes, whether you count the chads with one corner or two corners or three corners, whether you count the dimples, whether you count when people wrote it in or not, whatever the deal is, we know that 2000 was an unfair election because Al Gore won the election and George Bush became president. So, because 2000 was unfair, I worked on that. In fact, I was hired by the Congressional Black Caucus, I'm proud to say, in 2000 to challenge the Florida electors because it seemed obvious to me that when the people of Florida chose Gore, the Supreme Court can't choose Bush. The Supreme Court may think it has power to choose all kinds of things, but deciding who's president, no, in the Constitution, that goes to the Electoral College. And those electors under Florida law, and the law of the other 49 states, are chosen by the people of Florida. So the election of 2000 was stolen. Every Democrat knows this. Every free-thinking independent knows this. Even Republicans who respect truth know this because the report came and it's obvious Gore won. By the way, just so there's no doubt on this, because every now and then I hear doubt from some Republicans, even Matt Drudge admits it's true, because all you have to do is look at the press consortium and you can see that if you count the entire state of Florida under any count, Gore wins. So I don't want to rewrite history here. Now, it is true that a few newspapers, because it was right after September 11th, 2001, when the press consortium came in, not wanting to challenge the legitimacy of our president in a time of war, did print that if you count only some of the Florida votes, well, then Bush wins. And I concede the point. If you count only the Bush voters, Bush wins by a landslide. In fact, if you count only the Nader supporters, he wins by a landslide, too. It is true if you count only some of the Florida votes, Bush wins. But when is it ever right to count some of the votes? No one can deny that if you count all of the votes, every single vote from the state of Florida in 2000, Al Gore won that election. So, as many of you know, I wrote the brief challenging the Florida electors. And in fact, I may, while I'm waiting for my guest, spend a little time to tell you about that fair. It was a very interesting thing. In 2000, of course, many of you know, I was a trial attorney in California. And I wasn't involved in Washington politics by any sense. I simply was a lawyer, pro-Gore, of course, working for helping to elect Gore and watching the election proceedings and actually predicting every state. So I did that, and I predicted that Gore would win Florida, and lo and behold, he did. The Supreme Court took it away. In 2004, there was a similar thing. This time, the culprit was not Florida, but Ohio. If Kerry took Ohio's electoral votes, John Kerry would be our president today. But Bush took Ohio's electoral votes, and that is why he is reelected. And many argue, including my guest today, Bob Fitrakis, that the 2004 election was fixed as well. Just as I wrote the brief challenging the 2000 Florida electors, my fellow lawyer, Bob Fitrakis, wrote the brief challenging the 2004 Ohio electors. In fact, that's where I met him, in the halls of Washington and Congress, I believe, where he was challenging those electors. And since then, he and I have appeared on panels together in conferences like the Conference on World Affairs in Boulder and so forth. I want to talk a little about 2004, but I also want to move on with my guest and really broach the most important topic that should be on your mind. It's definitely on my mind, and that's the 2008 elections. Bob Fitrakis, welcome to the Inside Scoop. So I have you there.
Yes, glad to be on the show.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good, good. Before we move to 2008, I want to briefly, but fairly briefly, because 2008 is the most important, but if you could fairly briefly recount for us the 2004 Ohio experience and why you were convinced that was a fixed election.
Well, first of all, the gold standard for elections, what our own State Department uses, are the exit polls. The exit polls clearly showed Kerry winning by 6 points. Over what the actual results were. I mean, there was essentially a six-point flip. Instead of Kerry winning 51-48, Bush wins 51-48.5. Probability of that happening is once in every 959,000 elections, which, as you know, occur every 4 years. So somewhere around
One more thing just to add, that, of course, is not just Ohio. As I recall the 2004 data, there were some 12 or 13 exit polls all across the country, not just Ohio, where Kerry was ahead, and then Kerry lost by a margin outside the margin of error, right?
Yeah, there was actually, in the 11 key so-called battleground states, only Wisconsin with same-day voting was accurate. In the other 10, every single area were outside the margin of error, all favoring Bush. I mean, you can't even calculate those odds.
Okay, but Bob, I mean, it's certainly possible that the polls were right. The polls obviously are a snapshot, actually, of the days before, right? Were these same-day exit polls?
No, these were same-day exit polls.
Okay.
These are the gold standard. People are coming out and saying, this is how I voted. Their margin of error is plus or minus one. I mean, actually, you can get these down to two-tenths of 1%, which they do in places like Germany. So these are the most accurate because you're not saying how you plan to vote. You've just come out and you're saying, this is how I voted.
Now, as I recall, the people who did those polls was the lead guy in charge was Warren Mitofsky, the same guy, interestingly, who did exit polls in the Ukraine. And when they had an election that didn't fall according to their exit polls, they marched in the streets, demand a new election, and got one.
And the results were actually similar. And our State Department said that it was, you know, prima facie evidence of election tampering and fraud. I mean, what they're really suggesting is that the universal laws of statistics apply around the world, but not in Ohio.
And you're from Ohio. That's your home stomping ground.
Yeah, I'm here in Columbus right now.
What is it that you believe happened in 2004? Do you think it was electric voting machines where people were simply electronically stuffing the ballot box? Do you think it was the decision of Kenneth Blackwell, the Secretary of State, Republican Secretary of State at that time, who decided not to allow enough voting machines in Democratic areas, some combination? What happened in Ohio in 2004?
Now, I think the only reason they could, in fact, steal the election was because of election repression tactics prior to the election. Now, we can run through some of the highlights. The first thing they did is they purged 308,000 voters, almost every one of them from the inner cities of Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Toledo. In fact, in the city of Cleveland, which voted 83% for Kerry, which was 51% African-American in the 2000 census, they purged 24.93% of the entire city of Cleveland. It's the most Democratic area of Ohio.
Was that claiming that they had committed felonies? Is that how they did it, or some other
way? No, I mean, there's under Ohio law, there's it's actually under federal law as well, there's a may provision. You may purge your voting rolls. The problem is that you may purge in what is described as two federal election cycles. Historically in Ohio, that meant like two presidential off years was one cycle, 1996, 1998, one cycle. 2002, another cycle. What Blackwell allowed was the Board of Election, which, and the chair of the board was Bob Bennett, the Republican Party chair, to redefine election cycle as 2000 and 2002. So what they did is...
Rather than a four-year period, a two-year period.
Instead of four-year period instead of an eight-year period.
An eight-year period.
And then the broader question is, in a computer age, exactly short of a death notice, why would you be purging people, totally eliminating their voter registration?
So it's interesting because I worked on the Florida congressional challenge, as you know, and at that time they were using false felons lists. But basically,
right,
they were doing exactly the same thing. It was purging the voting rolls prior to the election. But what's interesting to me is that your charge, your exit poll charge, that charge suggests that even after the purging, if you look at the exit polls, Kerry still won, which suggests to me that you're arguing not just that they purged the voters before the election, but they actually stuffed the ballot box after the election.
Sure, yeah, and it's actually statistically, I have a PhD in political science as well. You know, when the numbers were coming in, and I was the attorney for the Election Protection Coalition, the nonpartisan large coalition that was watching the polls, we knew there were problems. When Clyde, Ohio reported at 131% and two precincts in Delaware came in at 124 and 120, and after 100% of the votes in, when 18,000 came in, more than 2-1 for Bush in Miami County, and when my favorite was Gahanna Ward 1B, when 638 people voted and the president received 4,255 votes, we suspected that something was wrong with the computers, the central tabulators, and we were right. We were, for example, we were told in South Concord, a precinct in Miami County, which is 98% white, that 679 of 689 people voted. All but 10 people voted, no provisionals, no absentees. It took me a year and a half fighting J. Kenneth Blackwell, the Republican Supreme Court, and all the statewide officers that were Republican as well as all the county officers until I was able to see the actual sign-in list. And what I found is 547 people signed in and voted, even though they recorded the vote at 679 for President Bush.
I take it it's too late to change it. I take it that by the time you get a Freedom of Information Act request and all the fights that I'm sure you did in lawsuits and so forth, if you can prove, as I mean, clearly you can, that they did something fraudulent, there's no recourse? You can't undo an election?
Well,
you can't put people in jail?
No, I mean, it becomes difficult. In fact, under law, once he was sworn in by the Congress, we had to withdraw the original case because it became moot. We refiled a state action, disparate treatment, a civil rights case, and we actually got a court order to preserve and count all the ballots. Sadly, 56 of the 88 counties in error destroyed the ballots in the federal election, even though they
in
were
in error?
That's what they claim. Some of the tragedies.
No. You know, this sounds like a little different from a tragedy to me. There's a huge difference between people accidentally getting killed and a mass murderer shooting a bunch of people. Did these counties destroy the ballots after they received the court order ordering them not to?
Well, we're actually going after a man in Montgomery County, Steve Harsman, who had a county order, an inventory order, that allowed him to destroy. And he had a federal court order in his hand, and he determined that, obviously, the county destruction permit trumped a federal judge's court order.
Are you going to get to put him in jail? Hold him in contempt?
I hope
put him
so.
In jail? I hope so, too.
He was just removed by the current Secretary of State, and he's also, his county is now being sued for reporting false numbers, actually from the 06 election with some research we did.
Just so you know how I feel about voting fraud, I'm a moderate. I believe that if it can be proven that you intentionally change a voting roll, I support the death penalty. I understand that it could be something more severe. We could kill your family, too. I wouldn't go that far. But I firmly, and I'm not joking about this, although some people think it sounds severe, if you intentionally change the vote count, it seems to me that the death penalty is warranted. That's the kind of thing I support. But let me move on to the present, because I've studied the past at length. I had Clint Curtis on my show years before he ran in the 2006 election, talking about how you can change software, how you can manipulate the vote in Florida. But I see some good news, and you may disagree with me, Bob, and if you do, you'll let me have it. But in the three main swing states that I've looked at in this election, and I've counted up the electoral votes several times, it seems to me Obama has to win either Colorado or Ohio or Virginia to win the election, that basically one of those three states will probably put him over the top. And luckily for us, all three states have Democratic governors. All three states have Democratic secretaries of state. And in Ohio and Colorado, I'm not sure about Colorado, but I'm pretty sure in Ohio you do have a Democratic legislature. In Virginia, it's split. Doesn't that mean that a lot of the awful stuff that happened, at least in your state, is being treated better by the new Democratic leaders?
Well, we've been in constant negotiations with the new Secretary of State. We made a deliberate decision not to serve the RNC and a variety of other people we thought were involved in illegal activities. Instead, we sued the Secretary of State. Then J. Kenneth Blackwell lost, the Republican, and was replaced by Jennifer Bruner. Most of what we've asked for, we've gotten, including a recent suit by her to get rid of the Diebold voting machines, now Premier.
That's what I thought. You have paper verified ballots in Ohio, right?
Correct.
On every county?
Well, we originally had, we have paper trails on the voting machines, but every county you now can vote on paper if you so choose. But even better, you can early vote. There's a huge battle in this state. The Republicans, under heavy pressure, they control the legislature, passed early voting. The problem is that they didn't realize they created a five-day period where you can register to vote. 35 days out, you can start early voting. And the voter cutout for registration is 30 days out. So recently, they discovered that they had created 5 days of same-day voting. So they've gone ballistic and claim that it really is the wrong interpretation of the law, that their plain intent of the language is not what they actually intended.
Mm-hmm. But here's, I guess, my point. We can talk about the 49 other states in a minute, and I'm sure we will. But with respect to Ohio, you're an Ohio lawyer. You've been studying the Ohio electoral system probably more than anyone. You're intimately involved with what happened in 2004. How confident are you that Ohio's election in 2008 for president will be free and fair?
I think there's a 80% chance. There's one unanswered question, and we've been obsessed with it, is the most partisan IT man in U.S. history, a man named Mike Connell, who's personally loyal to the Bush family, put an apparatus in place that ties all the county central tabulators to the Secretary of State. But within that same apparatus was outsourced in 2004 and up to 2006 to an IT site in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in the old Pioneer Bank building, which is a mega site, which is also tied directly to the White House. It's where the GWB43.com, the missing emails in the federal prosecutor firing scandal, were. So one question, and the other thing that we're concerned with, is that the electronic voter list can easily be purged. And there's rumors that they may be purging 600,000 voters in Ohio. I suspect the Secretary of State and a federal court will move. I know I will personally sue to put those people on the ballot, because that's how they made it close last time. through purging.
Bob, how do they purge? Is that a county by county or is that state?
It's a made provision and they do it county by county. Here's the problem is that the people working at the Board of Elections, including day labor, all have access to register people to vote. And in one case, somebody who was using a default system deleted 10,000 voters in Cleveland. They called it a glitch. And that what we, but they're going to move, because of the Republican Party is moving, to throw 600,000 people off the ballots because of they didn't either answer Republican, letters or sign for them, or the letters came back undeliverable. Well, we found.
Bob, that's exactly what they did in Florida. For people who don't know this, one of the tactics that Republicans use is they will send a mailing out with some Republican National Committee or something on it, and they'll say, respond if you live here. Well, if I got that as a good dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, I wouldn't respond any Republican thing. So then what they would do is they'd say, aha, we have a Democrat who lives here. We're going to go to court, and we're going to say he didn't respond to our mail, therefore he doesn't live there. He's died or he's gone or whatever. Scratch him from the voting rolls. They did this time and time and time again in Florida, and I suspect that's exactly what they're trying to do now. It's a very old trick.
Right. They've got 600,000 names in Ohio, all in heavily Democratic areas that they're planning to challenge.
But doesn't the Ohio Secretary of State make the final decision? I mean, at the end of the day, can we trust Jennifer Bruner, and is she going to make the right decision?
I think you can trust Jennifer Bruner. I mean, I've been critical in some cases where I thought she's moved slow, but fundamentally she's fair, she's nonpartisan, she's a former judge, and that what she'll do is ensure that the voting laws are upheld.
So you think the 600,000 and the 10,000 will be returned. I assume that when someone deleted 10,000 names, there was a backup somewhere. They don't have to go find those people again,
right?
Somewhere
that
in some computer.
That was from the 06 election. And what Jennifer did is she required the entire Board of Elections in Cuyahoga County, where Cleveland is, Democrats and Republicans, to resign. I mean, she didn't signal out the Republicans.
Good for her. Good for her. So because of the 10,000 names that were lost, right, they all had to resign. Now, did she find the 10,000 names?
Well, people actually showed up on Election Day, and she said, look, you could have allowed these people to vote at the County Board of Elections and investigated. Instead,
right,
their voting rights were taken away, and you did nothing to mitigate.
I like that she made them resign. I would love to see criminal law enforced at some point. That's my own personal view. So did she found the 10,000 names? She resolved that issue for 08?
Yes, and not
okay.
Only that, she moved to make sure that the private vendors – here's another huge problem in states we need to look for. In some states, the actual vote count and tally and the election rolls have been outsourced to private vendors. When I had a request in Fairfield County to see what the vote total was, they actually sent my email to ES&S, which sent them back their vote count for the county, and they forwarded them to me. So this is a huge problem, is who actually controls these lists.
Let me explain some things to people who may not know. It's not just Diebold. Two companies, Diebold and ES&S, the company that Bob just mentioned, they controlled in 04 80% of all voting machines. Both are companies controlled by Republicans who have given money to Republicans, and they controlled 80% of our voting systems in 2004. The good news, though, and I want to give some good news here, because I know that some people only are apt to believe the worst. And there's still some bad news out there. I want to get to Florida and other states in a minute. But at least with regard to Ohio, the state that Bob Petrakis is most familiar with, I think we can accurately report some good news, right? I mean, Bob, you think...
There's been tremendous progress. Think about this, is that if you were in the... if you showed up at a precinct in the inner city, and there was multiple precincts there, four precincts, and you got in the wrong line for 3 to 7 hours, the average wait, they would then say you were in the wrong line and send you to the back of the line. Jennifer simply allows you now to vote no matter what line you're in, Jennifer Bruner, the Secretary of State. J. Kenneth Blackwell wouldn't count your vote. In Franklin County, where I'm sitting now, if you showed up, had properly registered to vote, and you were accidentally given a provisional ballot, the poll worker messed up, they wouldn't count your vote because you should have voted on a machine and not a wrongly given provisional ballot.
And I take it they didn't do those same things in conservative
And that's the nature of our lawsuit, is that in Miami County, the rural county I talked about earlier, they actually allowed people to vote from surrounding counties. In the inner city here, if you were at the right polling place but wrong precinct, they didn't count your vote for the first time in Ohio history.
But here's what I don't understand, Bob, and maybe you can explain this to me. I assume Ohio, like most states, decides these things basically on a county-by-county level. They can be overruled by the Secretary of State. But if Cuyahoga County is a primarily African-American, primarily Democratic-leaning county, why weren't election officials there more sympathetic to the voters, just as the Republican rural county leaders were sympathetic to their voters?
Well, what Cuyahoga County did, because they had so many voters, is they essentially hired a technocrat. Michael Vu, right? An independent, passive technocrat. And his boss, the chairman of the Cuyahoga board, Bob Bennett, one of the great political officers.
Bob Bennett was the chairman of the Cuyahoga board?
Correct.
Isn't Cuyahoga a very Democratic county?
Yeah, but what happens if the Democrats pick the director, the Republicans get the chair of the board. So Bob Bennett just flat out intimidated Michael Vu. You know, it's his boss.
But what happened to the Democratic chairman? Where was he or she?
What I find in looking at the major areas, a lot of they put there are the party chairmen, and they collect a large paycheck, but they really don't pay attention to actual details. For example,
so there was a Democrat not paying attention in Cuyahoga County in 2004.
Right. You know, you kind of leave it up to the staff. And, you know, they didn't know they were schnookered here on the machines till the day of the election when the lines backed up. But, what they got is a report. Bill Anthony, who's a Democratic chair here in Franklin County, he gets a report. It says, we're going to allocate the machines based on past voter turnout. Now, you've got the largest amount of new voter registration in the history of Ohio. You've got inner city up 25% and 40%. Do you want to base these on the traditional vote that occurs more in the suburbs?
Of course you do. No, of course you want to base it on new registration. Let me ask you this. What is to prevent? Let me give you a scenario in Ohio. We now have the paper verified records, which you and I and a bunch of other people have fought for a very long time. So we have a rural county in Ohio, and in that rural county, you've got, let's say, 500 people vote for McCain and 100 people vote for Obama. But due to, let's say, a fraudulent county official who, quote, accidentally, unquote, hits the wrong button, he puts in 1,500 for McCain and 100 for Obama. Now, the paper record shows it's a lie, but he reports that into the central tabulator. The central tabulator reports it to the media. The media says McCain won Ohio. How are you, as a lawyer on the ground in Ohio, going to find out the truth in time this election?
Oh, we're actually – I'm having an election protection conference just for Ohio. We're actually going to have cyber squads. We're also filing a variety of writing candidates statewide, which will create flying squads, including lawyers that can go to any county board of election. This is a strategy I pioneered in 2006 when I ran as an independent candidate for governor but didn't really spend any money, but did create a flying squad to go into 22 counties to get into the actual central tab and observe.
So you will be able to observe in every county in Ohio?
Well, we might not have enough people, but we'll be able to go. We'll have different people in different regions that can respond to any county that seems to be having a delayed or problem vote count.
And let me urge people. By the way, I did this in Virginia, my home state, in 06. I worked for part of our own election protection group. Every state seems to have their own now. And we also went in. In fact, I went in myself in the county to check the election things. You have a right to do so. Wherever you live, wherever you're listening to my voice, I would encourage you to call your county or city board of elections, sometimes your state, but usually it's local, and find out the procedure. procedure to watch them tabulate. Generally, they allow at least one Democrat and one Republican in the room, and not just that, often a few others as well. Find out, make sure that someone from the Democratic Party who is trusted is in the room to count the votes. So let me give the broader analysis here, if I can, Bob. I agree with you. I agree with you that Ohio is much, much better than it was in 2004. I am concerned about that glitch that you mentioned, that going through Chattanooga. Before we move out of Ohio, let me just ask you, is that going to be fixed?
Well, we've moved in federal court to lift the stay and depose the guy who set the system up. So we're waiting to hear from the courts as we speak. But one way or another, we're going to get assurances from office that's fixed.
That's terrific news. And as I said, I think Ohio is much better off. Now, I have looked at the all 50 states. There's a number of good sites, by the way. I like verifiedvoting.org, but there are a bunch of others that show how the states were. There was a time in 04 when we only had about 15 states that voted on paper records. Today, there are only 6 states that use the machines with no paper ballots. Unfortunately, there's another 10 states or so that use a mixture of paper ballots and machines with no paper ballots. My state, Virginia, is one of them. What are the prospects now outside Ohio for states that still rely to some extent on these machines without paper ballots?
I haven't checked recently, but I know there was massive concern about Pennsylvania because I know that there wasn't a requirement. I don't know if that's been changed yet, but that was causing tremendous, tremendous concern. There's also the problem, of course, with Indiana and some of these new states requiring ID.
Right. And I've done whole stories on that. Right. Indiana's lost because what they're going to do is they're going to basically prevent poor people from voting. They have a poll tax in Indiana. It's clearly unconstitutional, but the Supreme Court doesn't like to obey that poll tax amendment because, well, they don't want Democrats voting and black people voting and poor people voting. So they've ignored the poll tax. So Indiana now charges a poll tax. They do it a little sneakily. They make you pay for a birth certificate instead of a vote, and then you have to get the birth certificate to the DMV, which they don't provide transportation for, and they basically, by doing that, prevent poor people from voting. So I'm absolutely with you on that. Bob, one of my callers right now is someone who has been on this issue, heck, as long as I've been on the air, for 5 years, Dave from California. His primary issue, above all, is voting fraud, and I know he wants to ask you some questions. Welcome to the Inside Scoop, Dave.
Thank you so much for this day, Mark. It's been needed a long time. I know you've given it some attention past time, but one thing, almost everything nowadays ends up on a computer, a sophisticated computer with a modem, and high-tech hackers can venture into those computers and change results. This I know firsthand. I'm wondering, say your name.
It's Bob Fitrakis. Just call him Bob, Dave.
Yeah, Bob, are you familiar with Mark Christian Miller's latest loser take all? He's got insider whistleblowers now that were a party to the rigging of all elections in 2000. And also, question, do you believe that they can also rig the polls? The polls that we're reading now say that it's a very close race for the president. They rigged those elections. Who in the world would want to have more of what we've just had for the last 8 years?
Okay, so hang on, Dave. Bob, first question, have you read the book by Mark Christian Miller? And second, do you think they're actually rigging the polls today?
Well, I was privileged to write a chapter in that book called As Ohio Goes. So I have a chapter in Mark Christian Miller's book, and I've been conversing and in dealing with Mark for a while. He's coming in for our election protection conference. So, yeah, and he did get a lot of people to write. And just as John Conyers, the General Accountability Office, found that the votes are moved around. I've written extensively in this area if you go to freepress.org. What I found is that the whole rise of electronic voting really, really came out of the 1980 election, where about 36% of the votes were counted on mainframe computer central tabulators. And President Reagan actually asked the NSA and others to take a look and see whether they could be hacked, and they told them they could. So, and what's real interesting...
That's very interesting. I didn't realize it went back that far.
Oh, yeah. Now, there's if you go to my site, I had an article called The Kudzu Effect that traced the whole history, because what I found disturbing was that the software, both was created by two brothers, I think it was the year is Savage Brothers or Yurosevich's, I've heard it pronounced both ways, but Bob and Todd. But their initial funding, which had come from the Hunt family and the Abramson family, two right-wing families, was interesting. But what I found more interesting is that the big proponent of electronic voting, which is now the International Foundation for Election Services, bringing electronic voting to the world, their initial funders was the Bureau of Social Science Research, that had been a CIA conduit in the 50s for torturing prisoners. And when they were outed and dropped, their new source of money that created electronic voting came from the National Endowment for Democracy that had been involved in Iran-Contra and had bought up La Prensa. And
yikes.
Let me
go to Dave's second question. Bob, do you think that they're manipulating the actual polls that we're seeing now?
Well, here's what they're doing, is that the last two elections, is for the first time in modern history, you've got the exit polls, people coming out and saying one thing, and the actual vote count going against it. So in order to get out of that situation, what they've done is they've manipulated the votes in a couple ways. Number one, they've made the exit polls sloppier by making them less representative. So instead of having a plus or minus one error factor, making them, you know, not only randomized but highly representative and sampling a large number, they've now decided that they would just cluster a lot of people, create the error factor to 5%, which is really
odd. Is more leeway.
What I call stealing distance. The other thing, what the caller makes is true. A lot of the new voters are really, they don't have hard lines anymore. They've got cell phones. A lot of those cell phones, you know,
that's
are
true.
Pretty paid and other factors.
And they tend to be from young people. People who have one line, it's a cell phone, tend to be voters under 30.
Right. So what you're doing is you're getting likely voter polls that disproportionately discount the heart of Obama's base, young voters, poor voters, minority voters.
Right, are those with the cell phones alone.
Yeah, what you have in political science, what you have is an asymmetrical entrance of new voters, and most of those are not being picked up in the polls because they don't use hard lines.
Particularly in a race like this, where so many young people support Obama and so many older, more established voters support McCain. But let me ask you this question, then I know Dave wants to say some more. At the heart of it, this has been my argument with Dave for a few years now. So, Bob, I'll let you decide between us here. It's been my contention that while the system has many flaws and while many states can still cheat, and Florida is definitely the case, and there are others as well, that we are moving in a positive direction, that actually, while 08 still has some real problems, there's a more likely chance of a fair election in 08 than there was in 04. At least we're moving in the right direction. Do you agree with me there, or you disagree?
Well, I agree with you in general. My specific problem is that we've seen far more electronic black box voting. And that if states allow in real time the central tabulators to be hooked up to the actual vote count, is that in some ways it could actually be easier to steal electronically unless people are vigilant.
And I assume it's a state by state thing. I mean, you just described how Ohio had changed significantly, and that really pleases me because I think Ohio is a crucial, crucial state in this election. If Obama wins Ohio, I think he's got it. If he loses Ohio, it's a lot harder. I was pleased to hear what you have to say about Ohio. Which are the worst states? I would say Florida. You agree?
Florida, I think, is legendarily bad and continues to be so.
Any other states? You said Pennsylvania you're worried about?
Well, Pennsylvania, last time I looked, had a provision where the paper trail in the machine, which in many ways, the biggest problem with the paper trail in the machine is that the people using those paper trails often don't know what they're doing. In many states, including Ohio, the people serving at the polls are there by seniority and allegiance to their party. So in many cases, you know, when I used to be a ward guy in the 55th ward, a lot of my people were 70, 80, 90 years old, and they needed the paycheck, and their husbands had been party loyalists long deceased 20 years before. So they didn't
know how to... The paycheck is like $10, isn't it? I mean, what kind of paycheck do they need? They don't pay those workers very much.
Well, I think in Ohio they pay them about $75.
Okay.
$100 for a judge. But what they do is a lot of them didn't know how to use the memory card. So the problem is a lot of these people become dependent on private technicians who work for private companies. So that's the big vulnerability in the system.
That is a huge vulnerability, and I think we know how dangerous it is to trust private contractors. Dave, this is your favorite issue. I'll give you another bite. Go ahead and ask more questions if you want.
Okay, well, what I think I'm hearing from all of us, what I know is a certainty, is that these neocons that we have in power right now will and do cheat as much as they have to accomplish their ends. Know that, you know that, if there is a character deficiency evident, it is in this neocon administration. This needs to be hollered out from every rooftop. You're going to the convention, Mark. You hit anybody you can with this.
Well, I will, but the one advantage that I see, it's also a disadvantage, Dave, but the advantage and disadvantage that I see is that really the presidential election is not a national election. It is 50 separate state elections. And as Bob Petrakis is pointing out, in Ohio, at least, decent people have taken over the electoral machinery. Now, I fully admit that Florida is just as corrupt as it's ever been, but Obama doesn't need Florida to win the election. So I'm hopeful that enough states have come over from the dark side, if you will, that we actually can have a fair election. But as I said to you, Dave, yesterday, I'm more of an optimist, I think, about these things, even if you're a pessimist. Bob, how optimistic are you that the 2008 election will be fair overall, counting, you know, understanding that some states like Florida will be bad, but are there enough fair states for Obama to win this election?
I think if people are vigilant, if people do election protection, here in Ohio, one of the big things that we were able to do is to get the election results posted at the precinct level. You got to make sure the postings occur immediately at the precincts before they get to the central tabulators. And we also now have mandatory random post-election audit, where at the precinct level, you're matching the paper to the actual vote tally to see if they're correct.
This is something required by Rush Holt's bill, I remember. We worked on it in Congress.
So we've adopted that in Ohio, so we have a much better chance of a fair election here in Ohio because of the post-election audit and the requirement to post immediately at the precinct.
What about the newspapers? You know, and it may be because I tend to live in big cities. I've lived in Los Angeles today. I live in a suburb of Washington, D.C. But wherever I live, my hometown newspaper, whether it was the Los Angeles Times or the Washington Post, and I recognize these are big, well-known newspapers, they would post it at the precinct level. I could see every single precinct, including the precinct where I voted, the exact vote count in every election. I've always been curious how the people in my precinct voted. Is that not common? Is it just that I've been in these two big cities?
Small
town papers don't do that?
Right. Now, in 2004, J. Kenneth Blackwell issued that it was optional to post at the precinct level.
Oh, God.
Historically, it's efficiency to save money for taxpayers. That's their usual story.
Oh, efficiency. Yes, yes. You know, it's more efficient if they just choose the president for us. Then we don't have to go to the trouble of voting. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
No, so that became, you know, I mean, we were stunned. It's one of those things. It was like when he came up with returning people's voter registration unless it was on 80 bond paperweight in a light cardboard stock.
I remember that.
From the 19th.
So how did y'all kick him out? I mean, you must have had a landslide to kick him out given how much he was cheating. I mean, in 06.
Well, oddly enough, the poll, not the tracking poll, I mean a tracking poll, but not the exit poll, Governor Strickland was winning by 36%, and he ended up.
I guess he had to win by 36 in order to actually beat a guy as corrupt as.
12% of the vote was missing, and Senator Sherrod Brown was supposed to win by 24%. And he won by 12.
So it seems like they can only cheat about 12%. That's the limit.
Is the limit. So one of the things we did, because I had a variety of. I ran as an independent. I didn't spend much money, but my main job was to get inside polling places, but to also take a large group of black voting rights activists who had stood in line for 7 hours. And whenever I would go to debate, is they would go with me, and I would remind them that they had to wait in line for hours, and that was due to J. Kenneth Blackwell. At that point, they would begin to make a lot of noise and ask questions. And Mr. Blackwell had to excuse himself quickly and go to another engagement.
That's terrific. That's wonderful. To me, that's what grassroots politics is all about. Right. Dave, I know it's your favorite issue. I'll give you one third try. Any question you have for Bob Fitrakis?
Well, thank you both for everything that you're doing. And are you aware, Bob, that there were certain precincts that had 200 registered voters that delivered 6,000-7,000 votes to the Republicans?
He talked about that at the outset. Yeah, he talked about that at the outset.
But I'd make an exception.
Yeah, no, in fact, one Gahanna Ward 1, Precinct B in Ward 1, it was in the New Faith Church, which was linked to Jerry Falwell. And they
very interesting.
Yeah.
And that's so the one that had the 200 or so registered and 4,000 votes per Bush.
4,255. Right. Yeah, we nicknamed that the Loaves and Fishes Precinct. It was one of the great miracles. And the church was actually linked to Jerry Falwell. And the computer was put out a month ahead of time, and it was hackable.
Why does it not surprise me that this was linked to Jerry Falwell? Speaking of Jerry Falwell, in his home state, he's dead now. Not that I often am pleased when someone's dead, but in his case, I may make an exception. In any case, he's from the same state I'm from, of course. Lynchburg, Virginia, and Northern Virginia are, some would say, thousands of miles away rather than 100 miles away. But Virginia, I think, is going to be a very, very crucial state. In my view, and I've said it before, Virginia, Ohio, or Colorado, those are the three states I'm looking for Obama to take and win the election. If he loses all three, I'm quite concerned. In Virginia, we have lots of difference between rural South and the North. And I just want to let people know that I will do in Virginia what Bob has done so well in Ohio. I've already contacted the Secretary of State there, the Board of Elections. I'm going to get a lot of answers, and I'll be reporting them to you. It is a crucial state. In fact, I think Obama may well choose Tim Kaine as vice president purposely because of the state of Virginia. And just as Bob is working very hard in Ohio, I'm going to work hard in Virginia. And I want to encourage all of you to work hard in your states, particularly in the swing states, even in Florida. Even in Florida, you should be calling your Secretary of State, calling your County Board of Elections, demanding a free and fair election. It is your right as an American citizen, and really all we need is a few committed activists in every one of the 50 states to ensure a fair election. Linda from Connecticut, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, thank you. We were in Cleveland in Cuyahoga County. I live in Connecticut, but we went to work on the election.
Mm-hmm.
There were many more things that were going on.
What did you see there?
Well, yeah, the ward that we worked in Parma at first to make the phone calls, and then we found out there was a person who was very upset. He said that they took the ballots afterwards and put them next to unescorted. And when he complained to the Democratic Party, they said, just do it.
They actually took the ballots home unescorted.
No, they put them in a taxi to a central location unescorted. They just got a taxi driver and sent them in.
Bob, are you aware of this, that some people actually stuck the ballots in a taxi?
There was numerous irregularities. Under Ohio law, the presiding judge, at least the old law, Jennifer Bruner, has changed it. Whoever won the precinct would be responsible for getting the ballots in. So there was only one person, and there were numerous irregularities. Now a Democrat and a Republican have to escort the ballots in. For example, in Delaware County, we tried to figure out, found in one precinct, they claimed the last 358 people voted for George Bush. Not one voted for Kerry. And this is an area that was going 60-40 for Bush, and there was no more than five straight Bush votes all day. So when we asked them what happened, they said, well, the Republican judge brought the votes in and then gave them to the Boy Scouts, who delivered, and this is their term, a mentally retarded Chad scraper, because they were punch cards, who then...
Whoa, a mentally retarded Chad scraper?
Yes. Who scraped...
Okay,
yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, now we actually determined that from the time the ballots were checked, you know, it was about a three-hour period, like 9:30 to 12:30, is that he would have had to scrape about 7 cards a second. He would have been like the Benihana. He was more like an idiot savant. I mean, the story was so unbelievable. But it, as you know, as a lawyer about chain of custody, you know,
right.
who do you begin to take a depot of? The Boy Scouts? And all over Ohio and rural Ohio and problems in Cleveland as well was that we would go in every place. We'd go to these places and say, there's too many votes here. Look, 547 people come in. How could there be 689 votes recorded in the area? And I'll be, well, maybe the church youth choir brought the wrong ballots over. And we're going, why weren't they at the precinct? Well, we held some back for an emergency. Well, wouldn't you better have them at the precinct because that's where they're voted than to keep them at the Board of Election and give them to the church youth? Often Cleveland, people were showing up from Texas, the Mighty Texas Strike Force, wearing their lawyer suits and would actually come in and wave people out of line and tell them at the end of the day, if you're in line, you could vote. They would tell them the polls were closed.
They were also told in certain areas, because many of them were new voters, that Democrats voted on Wednesday.
Yeah, they put flyers up all over the inner city.
And
I have those flyers in my book.
Tuesday.
Yep.
Right. That's an old trick. That was tried right here locally in my area, too. That seems to be done every single year. Another trick that they do is they say things like, Republicans vote on Tuesday, Democrats vote on Wednesday. And so they hope to convince people.
Well, the rate they used in Ohio is J. Kenneth Blackwell shut down to save money a lot of inner-city polling places. And then they would open up new ones. For example, there was a polling place about a half block from my house. They closed that one down. They opened one-tenth of a mile, 4 houses from where I'm living. But then I'm assigned over half a mile away to a different precinct. So then
you have to walk a long distance. You go to the wrong precinct. They can keep
right,
you from voting.
I then get calls directing me to the wrong precinct.
Right.
But
no
the logical precinct.
We have that at our ward, too. Yeah, at our precinct.
Well, I would hope you could at least get caller ID and put some of those people in prison. I would think if there was stronger criminal law. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, we had a criminal complaint. The problem is the response, because the Attorney General was a Republican, the Supreme Court was a Republican. There were no statewide elected Democrats at that time. I think their actions were so outrageous. I think that's why. And their handling of the economy is why we have so many Democrats running the state today. But
is it too late, Bob? Is there a statute of limitations, or can you go after them now?
It depends. I think we may be able to go after them based on certain federal laws and also
civil rights laws
under civil RICO, right?
Yeah, I would think civil rights laws.
I was going to say, people were marked as felons. And I will say this, and perhaps it's inappropriate, but the Democratic group there was not responsive. And we had 3 groups outside our poll. Since we were from Connecticut, we were not allowed to go inside. That's the rule there. And we were outside. And there were 3 other groups there. And we called the Democratic Party because a woman said she went in and she was marked as a felon. She was very upset. She said, I'd never even gotten a parking ticket. And we immediately called the Democratic Party. They said, just take her name. That's what we were told. So
that's crazy. I'll tell you, Linda, what I did in Virginia, I had someone who was turned away. It wasn't for being a felon, but it was for voting in the wrong precinct. And I know the law, which is you have an absolute right to a provisional ballot. And I marched right in with that person, told the election official, I'm an attorney. I'm a Virginia voter. This woman has an absolute right to vote provisionally, and they allowed her to do that. So
right.
I think you need strong people. There's no question. You need strong people on the ground.
Well, no, they do let her vote, Mark, but the thing is, in Ohio, the provisional ballots were never counted.
Yeah.
What they did in Cuyahoga in particular, and we expose this, is they kind of had a outside envelope, and you had to say, yes, I want this to be counted. And then, then Blackwell said your date of birth had to be on the outside envelope. So they kept adding new sort of restrictions and requirements so they could throw a lot of the provisionals out.
Did you know about the shortage of ballots that went on? They're allowed to have three ballots if someone makes a mistake. What happened was they were shorted and did not get enough ballots if people needed other ballots.
Right. So it's a Baba thing. They would leave the extras with the Boy Scouts rather than at the polling places. Thank you very much for your call, Linda. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for this program. It's wonderful.
My pleasure. We will do more. This is not the last program we will do. As the election approaches, we will have many more such programs. Bob, I do have a question for you. It relates to what Dave was saying and also to what some people are talking about in the chat room. The Head on Radio Network has a chat room that people comment in. And Dave and some people in the chat room are suggesting that this really is at the national level, that despite the fact that actually the presidential election is 50 separate state elections, that Karl Rove or some neocon or someone in the Bush administration, Dick Cheney, whomever, is actually able to pull the strings. What do you think about that?
Well, the problem is if their apparatus is still in place, the one that was identified by the Free Press, .org and the ePluribus Media, if they still have the real-time apparatus, and the way that really worked above all else is it comes down to a few battleground states, and what they know is the actual vote count. So they've got the real-time vote count going, and actually on a server outsource, you can slow that down. You can increase traffic, slow that down. Then they know. Here's what they did in Ohio, and this is a sign if it's being stolen. In Ohio, despite court orders keeping the polls open in Cleveland and Columbus to midnight, 14 southwestern Republican-dominated counties reported late after the large urban centers.
Interesting. Those counties were closed at 8. They could have reported, but they waited. They waited to see how the urbans would vote before they came up with their stuff.
And one of them, Warren County, of course, called a level 10 homeland security alert. Bin Laden is in the neighborhood.
Right, I remember
highest
that.
Level, and then diverted the ballots to an unauthorized warehouse where Bush got 14,000 more votes than the exit polls suggest.
I remember that, and I hope some of those people one day be prosecuted. Let me just, we only have a few minutes left, actually just a minute or two left. With all these negative things, there are some people that frankly get disgusted with the system and don't vote. And I want to say to all those people, you can still win. For one thing, you can always win by a landslide outside the margin of cheating, as they did in Ohio. But for other times, I have to say that many, many states are getting better. And so please do not stay home because of this. If anything, what you should do is the opposite. Go out and vote, but also join your local election protection group, and there's one in every single state, and go out to the polls and make sure they're fairly counted. You have a right as a citizen of that state, as a citizen of that county, to go in and see what's going on. Linda couldn't because she was from Connecticut and she was in Ohio, but in your home county, you have that right. Find out now what you can do so that you're ready and prepared on election day. Bob, do you have anything left you want to say, last few seconds?
No, people need to be vigilant. You need to do election protection. Volunteer as poll workers as well. There's a whole movement out there, poll workers, for democracy, because you can expose the fraud. You can sign affidavits. We need you inside those polls and counting rooms.
That's a great idea. You can volunteer as a poll worker as well. They won't pay you much, but you will be doing an invaluable service to American democracy. Bob, you do an invaluable service. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope I can have you on again sometime between now and the election for an update. We will do many more shows on this. We will make sure the election of 2008 is free and fair. Thank you again, Bob Petrakis.
Thank you.
This is Mark Levine signing off.